Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angi.com.
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Lars.
And welcome back to our final, for now, review of Dark Side of the Ring. Hopefully it'll come back for season three at some point. This is the last episode of season one. Is the Fabulous Moolah episode.
Yeah.
It was a pretty heavy one. Obviously, she's a very controversial figure. A couple of years ago, and they referenced this in the episode, the WWE tried to name their WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal after her. And then there was, as happens these days on the internet, some pushback when the full width and breadth of her career, all the bad bits sort of come to light, and they're like, no, don't honor this person because she was kind of an asshole. Sponsors caught wind of that. WWE pulled out of that particular situation. Yeah. Instead of renaming it after somebody maybe deserving, they just didn't.
Yeah, it was a WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal. And they use that controversy as kind of the framing device for this particular episode, because it starts out with people, by and large, praising Moolah, talking about the impact she had on the world of professional wrestling, which all led to the point of this Battle Royal being named in her honor. But then, hold on. But the way they kind of portrayed it in this, it was like once that happens, then the floodgates kind of opened.
Mm-hmm.
The article about Sweet Georgia Brown is from 2006.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so this isn't exactly, new allegations. This is stuff that had been floating around for a while.
Well, as is the norm these days, it's funny because the first time this happened, I don't think there's much argument on this, was Hannibal Buress and Bill Cosby. When his stage act, his comedy routine, he started talking about, if you Google Bill Cosby and something else like sex assault or something like sexual assault, or something like that, he's like, this guy was totally roofing people from decades ago. And it's just out there and anybody can read this stuff. But sometimes it takes a triggering moment.
And, oh, definitely.
And with these days, I mean, that's the whole controversy surrounding the idea of cancel culture, which is something that I don't really, the dubbing it a term, cancel culture, makes it sort of a binary issue, a black or white thing, when I think that there are definitely levels to this idea of accountability in the day and age, in the social media day and age, which is what it is. It's, hey, this happened. Why did this person never face any consequences for it?
Mm-hmm.
And then it snowballs. And that's basically what cancel culture is. Mm-hmm. And there are varying degrees of it. And this is a perfect example of that. Yes, the article back in 2006. I'm sure even preceding that, there were probably rumblings of it out and about in the world. This is a very complex thing. And in fact, I think that the episode itself was, in my opinion, when I saw this, the most fully realized and even though it was dealing with an issue with Fabulous Moolah's history that is honestly so complex. And there's a lot of gray areas here. And it hits to many, many different issues. But this episode in particular, the production of it, the direction of it, I thought was so fully formed and well thought out, even down to, I thought it was so brilliant. There were two specific instances that they added. Princess Victoria, one of Mula's students, I guess, if you will, and her daughter had to keep their barking dogs from interfering with their interviews. And I was like, holy crap, what a loaded metaphor that they not just went, they didn't just go to that once, they went to it twice. And I was like, that is such a loaded metaphor right there, that it was absolutely brilliant. I was like, man, they really know what they have right here. So I think it sort of, to me, the episode largely spoke to the concept of, can you separate the artist from the art, and how difficult that can be, especially now. I mean, you can go back to even, Roman Polanski, and, you know, the allegations against him, and the fact that the man, by and large, was a pretty brilliant artist. I mean, you can go back any number of high profile, very successful creative minds are assholes. And as a person who consumes art in its various platforms, I guess, you have to square that as the individual. Mm-hmm. Do I respect Mula's legacy for women's wrestling? Even though she's an asshole, as Princess Victoria also said, I don't know. I do think that Wendi Richter, in my opinion, had probably the most definitive statement. Yeah, she did a lot for women's wrestling, but she also held it back for decades.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing too, is you bring up the analogy of other artists separating the art from who they are as a person. The one thing that kind of puts Mula in a different category than a lot of the other examples is, not only was she involved in that particular art form, she was more or less in control of her aspect of that art form. Mm-hmm. You can't really say that. Another example doesn't actually pop to mind instantly, of someone who not only was involved in a particular storytelling form, they were in control of that particular aspect. She was in control of, by and large, of women's wrestling for the better part of 30 years.
When Jim Cornette says, before Mula, women were banned from wrestling in Madison Square Garden, and then she was the person who broke down that barrier, but then nobody else could because she kept a stranglehold on it. So, how much you do that? That it's a valid question. How much can you really say that she advanced women's wrestling if she was the lone beneficiary for decades of that?
I mean, she owned the championship.
Yeah.
She owned that.
Yeah. Yeah. She literally owned women's wrestling.
She owned it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and that's one of the things in this episode. They go over quite a bit. I think it was Princess Victoria was talking about how she was trying to get into business. You know, the promoter she was working with is like, we can't get you any bookings. You got to go to Mula.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes there, and it's $300 a month, I believe, for the school, plus room and board. You got to pay rent while you're there because you got to live on her compound.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And you got to share a room, or you share a unit, an apartment, with three other women.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So I believe it was Princess Victoria was talking about how, so per month it's $1,200.
Yeah, that was Princess Victoria.
In the 80s.
Yeah.
Which is a good chunk of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
And you know, the official terms of the deal was she was going to take 25% of the money she got through the booking she made for you, but that was assuming like the number reported to you was accurate.
Yeah, Mula got her hands on the payout first.
Exactly.
And then she gave you whatever she decided 75% was.
Exactly. And it's interesting, they go back to when she broke into the business, and how, what's his name? Billy Wolf, I want to say, was Mildred Burke's
Yeah, Billy Wolf and Mildred Burke, yeah.
Yeah, who was a top star of like the 30s, 40s, and 50s in women's wrestling, like main eventing shows.
Mm-hmm.
And how, you know, there was a very particular system in play there.
And yeah, describe this system, Larson.
Oh, gosh.
So I'll do it for you because I know you're a bit squeamish on this particular subject. Yeah, the system in place was you want to get a booking through Mildred Burke and Billy Wolf. You got to sleep with Billy Wolf.
Essentially, yes. Yeah. And so Moolah didn't want to play ball with that. But it's interesting that rather than... I'm sure there was, all sorts of crazy financial aspects of it too, where I'm sure he would make your bookings, he would take a significant cut of your money, even of what was actually reported to you. It's interesting that Moolah is saying no to that system when Billy Wolf was the head of it, rather than saying, okay, I don't want to take a similar approach. I want to do something different for the benefit of women everywhere, so they have to do this stuff. Instead, she kind of instilled her own system where she was just beneficiary of all that.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. She basically took that system and instead of saying, hey, it'd be great to make some changes to this, no, she said, I want to do that, but I want to be the Mildred Burke. So I'm just going to find this guy, Buddy Lee, and it's going to be basically the same exact thing. The most serious allegation that Moolah had against her, they dive into, is with Sweet Georgia Brown, who was an African-American wrestler, I believe the first in South Carolina.
Mm-hmm. I believe that's what her son said, yeah.
And she was wrestling under Moolah as one of her students. And then, of course, one of the wrestlers in her, stable, I guess, or whatever.
Yeah.
And you know, they interview both Sweet Georgia Brown's daughter and son, and they talk about that. He specifically talks about, I had heard about all this stuff about Moolah. I went to go visit her because I was on a journey to find out who my dad was, because they didn't know. All they knew was that, they were always, they felt a lot of the heat of being biracial because they were half white. And so he wanted to know his own story. And so he went to go visit Moolah, and he said she was a perfectly kind person and a very nice person. And he didn't see any of the sinister. I mean, people are very complex. They can be assholes and they could be very nice at the same time. And it's the same person, But, speaking from his own experience, he was like, she was very kind. And I asked about my dad, and she went over to the wall and she pointed at Buddy Lee, at her husband. And this idea that, that was my dad. And so it is difficult. I mean, the allegation that she basically pimped out her wrestlers to promoters around the country is a very serious one. And it's dark. It's as dark as it can get. And that alone should preclude her, you would think, from being celebrated. Yeah. I mean, in my opinion, it kind of does, along with the fact that, yeah, she sort of held what women's wrestling at. If she was... I don't know, man. I don't know if my opinion would change if she was, on one hand, pimping out her wrestlers, and on the other hand, elevating those wrestlers. But, like, she doesn't even get the benefit of that doubt. Like I said, it's a very complex thing, because then you have at the end of the episode, Princess Victoria saying, if she needs, even if she was an asshole, she needs to be celebrated because of her legacy. And if you call her a pimp, you're calling me a prostitute. And I, without trying to disrespect her point of view, because I think that needs to be validated, I do find her premise to be faulty, because it's like, no, you're not a prostitute. You'd be a victim in that case. Yeah. I mean, not every sex trafficker has their victims, they're not consensual relationships. I know some are, but in this case,
definitely wouldn't be.
Well, there's got to be some gray area there. I don't know. I don't know. They talked about with Sweet Georgia Brown, they talked about, basically what seemed like, just drugging him up and then having him sleep with him, but not being there to understand the actual dynamic and having other wrestlers speak up on her behalf, it's the kind of thing where it's like, well, this seems like a really wrecked situation, but it is difficult to make like a clear judgment call.
Yeah. Yeah.
So again, I mean, and I don't think the documentary, I don't think this episode of The Dark Side necessarily serves to try to make that determination. It
Absolutely
does.
Not, yeah.
It gives you a lot of as much information seemingly as they're able to fit into the narrative.
It's pretty much here's the viewpoints. And then you have to consider them and make your own determination about what Mula's legacy is at this juncture.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely going to be up to the individual, because you had a couple of her former students who were defending her. You had several of her former students who had a variety of allegations against her.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody seems credible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As presented here.
Yeah.
So you just got to, and it could be a situation where it's all kind of the truth. People are really complex. You know?
And that was my thing. Cause you had texted me about the final statement from Princess Victoria. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, you know, when you're watching this, keep an eye out for this, cause it's interesting to me. And we talked about a little bit off camera, but like,
yeah,
I think my point of view on that was simply like to be a wrestler in the first place, I think. And one thing that I did see with all of the wrestlers presented is that they are women of pride, and people of pride, people who have pride. I'm not sure. And I'm not as I told you this, obviously I don't have a degree in psychology. So I don't know this exactly.
No, I know your degrees and it's not psychology.
Thank you. You could vouch for me.
Yes.
But I do suspect that there is an element of, hey, I'm not a victim. I don't want to be painted as a victim. And when she says that, when she says she should be respected, when you call her a pimp, you're calling me a prostitute, and that pains me. That's her, in my opinion, saying, I'm nobody's victim. All right. I made choices. And to her credit, like, she made that choice. When Mula attempted to pimp her out, she said no. She chased the guy off and then went to Mula. Mula was like, why didn't you sleep with that guy? Well, no, because I didn't want to. And then Mula kicked her out and she left. Yeah. And so
that happened after Princess Victoria broke her neck.
Exactly. And then Mula tells the other students
later.
Yeah.
Well, like a month after that happens, or maybe even sooner, Mula gets her in the ring and says, start taking bumps.
Yeah. Yeah.
See how it feels. And this apparently went on for months. Mm-hmm. And Princess Victoria says, like, every time she took a bump, she felt like something was exploding.
Yeah.
In her.
Yeah. God damn. So yeah, I don't know. It is to me the most interesting episode, because it does present so many different sides. Mm-hmm. Obviously this is the point in the episode where I say, I'd like to know the friendos what they think in the comments below. So I don't know. I thought that was interesting. I thought the Wendy Richter stuff was all very interesting. Yeah. Her point of view is interesting. Yeah. And talk about another strong figure, somebody who stood up to Vince McMahon, even to the degree that, hey, she left wrestling because of it. She wasn't willing to back down and say, okay, mm-hmm. Even though I'm one of the featured attractions here, even though your women's division seemingly is built exclusively around two people, me and Mula, mm-hmm. And there's like nobody else in the division. She says, I'm worth more than what you're paying me. And he said, no, you're going to drop the title. and he has her drop it to Mula in what could be suspicious. I mean, I know everybody calls that the original screw job.
Yeah.
But, the fact that Princess Victoria, because I was thinking this when they were like, did you know that was Mula under there? And she was like, no. And then Princess Victoria was like, how did she not know?
The between Wendy Richter saying that, I believe the question being asked of Princess Victoria, did you know it was Mula? There's a shot of Mula in the Spider-Woman disguise walking around the ring. And I don't know if this was added in post or this was actually from the footage. It sounded like there was Mula chants.
Oh, that I didn't even notice. Oh, that's funny. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't, it's hard to think. It's like, well, there are two people in the women's division. There's a masked wrestler in this ring. I just had a dispute with Vince.
Well, she saw Mula in the building earlier that day, too.
Yeah, right. Like, how would she not know?
Like, you've worked, and she said earlier, yeah, like the last several months, worked with Moolah. It's just me and Moolah every night on the road.
You'd think you'd know that person. It's like Clark
Kent. And also,
it's
interesting, you know, I'm not going to say Wendy Richter could be 100% correct.
Mm-hmm.
So the reaction she has when Moolah takes the mask off, she goes after her, she grabs her hair and starts hitting her with forearms.
They look like worked forearms, though. Yeah,
that's what I was going to say.
Yeah. So I don't know. That I'll just put it this way. To me personally, there's a big question mark there. In any event, that led to her leaving and I mean basically wrestling at that point.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought her story was interesting, and her final analysis on Moolah was pretty interesting. They asked, "Hey, have you seen this match back?" She's like, "No, I don't have to. Like I lived it." She said, "The bee is dead." I thought one person that sort of I felt would have been interesting if they could have added a little bit more to the narrative was Moolah's daughter. I honestly like she's sort of the one person who I don't really recall her saying much of anything of consequence beyond adding perhaps a personal level to it. It's like, okay, well, at the very least, if I'm taking this person at their word, I understand that Moolah, if nothing else, did have a heart as it pertains to her family, perhaps, you know, I mean, maybe that was, she was just there to represent the humanity aspect of Moolah, because otherwise she could be painted as just, you know, a really, really cold person. And I'm not sure how privy a daughter would be to the business dealings of her mom.
I don't know either.
But I thought it was a really, really well-rounded episode.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely well worth a watch.
Definitely.
So tomorrow, are we going to do this later on?
We
can go ahead and give that a go. We're going to come at you with our suggestions for season 3 of Dark Side of the Ring, stuff that we'd like to see. Obviously, if you guys want to see any particular stories of pro wrestling depicted in season 3 of Dark Side of the Ring, let us know in the comments. It's always a fun conversation to have.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways, thanks everybody for watching. We appreciate it. Until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Goodbye.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.